News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
It's been a while since I've been to the text line. Now I'm looking at it. It was lit up this morning. We're still trying to get your names. How do we do that? Where we know exactly who's texting, we have to kind of redo it over again?
We're in a transitioning phase here to a newer version of our text line, so y'all bear with us as temporarily, hopefully just temporarily, we've lost some of the names. So if you text us this morning and you don't mind, just give us your call sign or whatever you want to be known by on the text line as we go through these texts. But we so far have received a lot of texts this morning about two things in particular. One is the Maui wildfires, the fire that absolutely destroyed Lahaina in Maui on the west side of the Maui island. And then the other is air conditioning in local school buses. So we'll get to those texts here in just a little bit, but the death toll did rise over the weekend. The latest number here, 96 for the wildfires in Hawaii, and that's only with about 3% of the affected area actually combed through by law enforcement and investigators so far to this point. Officials said they would bring in 12 more cadaver dogs to help with the effort, and right now officials still unclear when residents may return to the area. I have this one clip from a resident of Lahaina. Now, his entire story is very interesting, very sad, although not as sad as those who have lost lives in the wildfires. But this resident of Lahaina, Jordan Sarabay, apparently his whole family lives there. And he tells the story about living just a few houses away from his grandmother's home. And he went down the street to help her evacuate first, get the things she wanted to take from her house, get into the car and get her on the move before he went to his house. Well, he said the fire was like all the way at the end of their block or relatively far away when he went into his grandmother's house. And while he was inside her house, it had already reached the home next to her. And he got her out. She went with the rest of the family. And then he ran to his home where he said the fire was already, you know, really close to where his home was.
Yeah.
This interview on Fox News, he was asked about the death toll. And he said he expects it to rise, just like all of us.
You can only imagine the kind of loss that exists just hearing everyone's stories firsthand and what had happened. I'm scared to hear what the real number is going to be. I'm hoping that the numbers will stop and they won't continue to go up. But there's a lot that I think about and know that the number we see now isn't the number that it's going to be, and it's going to be a lot higher.
So with 96 dead to this point, that already makes this the deadliest in over a century. Last time you saw that many killed was 1918. 453 people were killed in Minnesota and Wisconsin by the Cloquet and Moose Lake fires. And, you know, we've seen so many devastating wildfires on the West Coast. Think of Canada earlier this year.
Yeah, that's right. That wasn't even a West Coast thing, was it?
Yeah, I'm surprised that we haven't seen more deaths. But because this was on the island of Maui, and there's only so many places someone can evacuate to, even still, it sounds, the audio from that gentleman, Sarabay, and others, like as quickly as they knew this fire was moving, it still surprised so many people to the point where they were jumping in the ocean to get away from it.
Yeah.
Already, losses estimated to be approaching $6 billion. At least 2,200 structures have been destroyed in West Maui. Over 2,100 acres have burned. The governor of Hawaii, Josh Green, made all the rounds on the news channels over the weekend, and the most discussed is him basically blaming global warming for this. But other people are pointing the finger in a more direct fashion at power companies. And I started seeing this yesterday, some video footage previous to the wildfire, where, remember, you have Hurricane Dora, which I think was 700 miles southwest of Maui.
Yeah, I heard 500. So it wasn't a threat to the island, but it was creating wind on the island, right?
Right. And that wind at one point last week was strong enough that it was knocking over power lines. And that's some of the footage I saw, was power lines on the island being knocked down.
Is there any doubt that the fire started because of the power lines and affecting the trees? And was the strike, the match that struck, was that a down power line?
That's the best theory at this point. But the governor, Green, and so many others said it's going to take a long time before they get all the way to the bottom of it. Now, I read that Hawaiian Electric provides about 95% of the power to the company.
Yep.
But you do have this one Hawaiian couple who is suing four power companies. And they're saying that these power companies just weren't prepared. They accused them of ignoring weather warnings. Monica and Reed Eder, they owned a home in Lahaina, and I believe that home burned down. They said the companies kept their power lines energized despite the dangerous conditions. The plaintiffs claimed in the lawsuit that the companies, quote, inexcusably kept their power lines energized during forecasted high fire danger conditions. So that's one aspect of all of this. The other, remember the last time we talked about Hawaii's emergency alert system was when someone someone accidentally put off an emergency alert for, was it nuclear?
Yeah, I mean, it was very, very serious. That's
right. They said that there had been, I think, nukes lobbed at the island. It was a total accident.
Yes.
Well, this time, the emergency alert system apparently didn't even fire. They said this, well, this is Congresswoman Jill Takuda, a Democrat from Hawaii. She said, sadly and tragically in this situation, those emergency sirens likely did not go off. The warning signals that were on cell phones, we had no cell coverage or electricity in some of these areas. So imagine you're someone in Hawaii, completely disconnected from the grid. Like, I would imagine more people in Hawaii would be than a lot of the mainland. They're kind of just doing their own thing.
Might be why they're in Hawaii.
Exactly. Actually, that even came up over the weekend as Woody Harrelson got into some trouble, if you want to call it that. People are upset that he's wearing a Robert F. Kennedy hat. And Kennedy said, listen, Woody Harrelson's off the grid in Hawaii. He doesn't watch the news. He doesn't pay attention to anything. He doesn't even know that he's not supposed to wear a Kennedy hat, that he's going against the grain. But I say that because Woody Harrelson lives in Hawaii and lives off the grid, according to Kennedy. So many people probably do. And they didn't even get the alerts on their cell phones, apparently, that there was a massive blaze that was just burning everything down. Some more stats here. One of three power transmission lines has been restored as of yesterday, but that's only enough to provide about 3,700 customers with power. They put two Wi-Fi trucks in the area. That's providing some service amid the downed lines. And a temporary housing task force says they secured 1,000 hotel rooms. Half of those they'll use to house residents, and the other half for aid workers who have shown up in order to help out.
So what the Hawaiian companies are accused of doing is what has also come up in California, where they are often criticized, and beyond just being criticized, for turning the power off when there's high winds. So I went to the website of the number one energy company in California, and this is talking about the public safety power shutoff. That's a critical tool, they say. Okay, so it says the threat of wildfires in California is real and growing, with one quarter of the SCE's service area in high-risk fire areas. Keeping our communities safe by preventing wildfires is a top priority. One critical tool we use, this is the power company, to prevent wildfires is the public safety power shutoff, in which we may temporarily shut off power to your neighborhood during dangerous weather conditions to prevent our electric system from becoming a source of ignition. And we've seen that before. And that's just basically high winds and dry and all that. So they weigh it out, and they think they've got to cut off the power. They do that. Now, here's the flip side, Dalton. In a story from 2022, California utilities will be fined more than $22 million for poor execution of widespread power shutoffs back in 2020. So they did it, but they were not just criticized, they were fined. So that would make
you... So they were criticized for turning off the power.
Right. And fined $22 million, not just criticized. So if you factor, if a power company is factoring in what sort of damage they'd have to pay for turning off the power.
Yeah.
So this was... They did it back in 2020. I think the practice began around 2017 or 2018, where that we started hearing these stories about California intentionally cutting off the power. So
it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't thing.
That's the argument, right? That probably not really has not really gotten a lot of conversation. But I saw this story when I saw that California actually got fined $22 million. The regulators announced $12 million in fines against Pacific Gas and Electric, $10 million against Southern California Edison, that's the website I went to, $24,000 against San Diego Gas and Electric. The companies, along with the Pacific Corp Power Company, also were ordered to take corrective action to comply with public safety notification requirements, the agency said in a statement. All three companies were criticized for the chaotic and unprepared handling of public safety power shutoffs in October. October 2019. So in this case, they shut it off, and it was the manner in which they did it. The execution was poor, evidently, but they were, it looks like, bottom line, poorly executed or not, they were seeing conditions that they were saying, we want to save lives.
Yeah.
So being proactive got them in trouble.
Well, it's better than loss of life, well, paying that $22 million.
That video says a lot. The one you saw before the fires had really started, right?
Yeah, it looked
before
like
there was any panic at all.
It looked like a dust storm, and I guess it was that Hurricane Dora wind. Now, you think, I'd love to know what the process is around here, but usually when we get winds that are strong enough to knock down power lines, there's wet weather accompanying it,
yep.
Normally, mm-hmm. because it's hurricanes, we generally deal with that. I'd love to know kind of what the process is for our power companies around here, what they're supposed to do or not do. We do have a lot of texts on this, and maybe some people giving us a little bit more information. We'll start from the bottom. Paul says, good morning. actually, let's see here. Text line moving very slowly on me. He said, I had a weird InfoWars type thought over the weekend. Okay, thanks for prefacing it with that, Paul. He said, could the Maui fire have been caused to keep money flowing through Ukraine as Ukraine funds will be tied to Maui funds? No, I don't think so. And that's something I keep seeing every time something major happens now on Twitter. The conspiracy theories are absolutely just, they go way over the top. I see people trying to claim that this was started deliberately for one reason or another. That lasers helped start it. There are enough true conspiracy theories, like the Hunter Biden finance thing,
yeah.
that you don't need to look too far into every little thing. Usually the most simple answer is the correct answer, and I believe in this case it's power lines that went down and sparked this fire. This texter said, it sets the grass on fire every time I've seen it. When the power lines hit the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Another texter said, good morning, Dan and Dalton. To answer your question, give me just a second. Like I said, our text line. To answer your question about primary voltage on telephone poles, they surge three times in an attempt to burn off whatever is making contact. After that, the phase locks out at the transformer feeding that particular line. When surges are numerous, they can actually lock out a substation, which can have multiple feeds coming from it. That's some really good information there. We appreciate it. Damn Yankee texted in and said, wildfire and or other major disasters are possible almost anywhere in the U.S. Our infrastructure and cell phone service is weak. That's another text, and we appreciate that, Damn Yankee. And then some texts about the pillow fight from last weekend. I mean, from the last hour that we were talking about there. This texter says they're appreciating our show. Thank you, Preston. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, man.
This texter, seeing all of the burned, abandoned cars on the waterfront, it reminded me of what happened at, it says Herculaneum. I think that might be is that a text issue there? Herculaneum. Not sure what you're getting to there, but it is something else. If you've seen over the weekend the footage, some of the pictures from, I think there were people even, and it was referenced in that Fox News interview with that resident of Lahaina, Jordan Serbe, people waiting in traffic jams to evacuate, their cars burning.
Wow.
With them inside. Yeah, another texter references some of the victims of 9/11 choosing to jump from the towers rather than die in the fire, said most victims in Maui did not have that option. And another texter here says utility companies don't worry about things like that. They just pass it on to the customers. I think you're referencing the fine that the California company had to pay there, that $22
million. $22 million, yeah. Three companies in all were involved in that. Damned if you do, damned if you don't, Again, I don't know the nuts and bolts of that case. They were fine. Maybe they deserve that fine. But again, just the practice of saying, look, we're going to cut this power off because we think conditions are ripe for a disaster. It's 8:21 with Dan and Dalton on FM Talk 106.5. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. 8:25. Just having a quick memory of my former dog, Charlie Brennan. Some dogs notice a TV. Mine never did. And he watched golf.
That's awesome.
He would watch golf, especially from the tee box when they're teeing off.
Oh yeah.
The shot behind the golfer. He just excited. It excited the heck out of him. He would watch it, and he'd see that he was getting ready to hit the ball, ready to hit the ball, and you could see the little body was kind of like, oh, there's some big stuff's about to happen. And then, whew, and he could watch golf. So that's just an aside, obviously.
Well, we were talking dogs because I was talking with my wife over the weekend that my puppy, who's about to be a year old, my blue tick coonhound Chase, we were like, isn't he been, like, all of a sudden he's the best dog in the world.
Yeah.
He's super chill. He's just laying down all the time. It's great. As soon as we said that, he jumped on the couch onto my youngest child. And it's like, oh, well, there goes that.
On her face.
On her face.
And so that's what I was thinking. Maybe he's jealous of which, like, she's got the controls over the TV.
Yeah.
I'd be thinking, like, this ain't fair, man.
He wants to see Lucas Glover win on the PGA.
Maybe so.
A lot of people letting me know about Herculaneum. Yes, my historic knowledge of Pompeii begins and ends with the people who were just left as stone. I remember actually seeing that display at the Explorium when they brought the Pompeii whatever exhibit there, and it moved so fast, that volcano.
Yeah.
Says Herculaneum was another city destroyed by Mount Vesuvius along with Pompeii.
So that is in land that is now known as Italy. I don't think it was known as Italy back then, but that's, I believe,
and
that's where it
that,
is.
That's the only other thing.
Mount Vesuvius.
As people are trying to figure out how exactly this wildfire began in Hawaii. Now, most of the time, it is actually us stupid humans who start this stuff. Mm. And normally, it's the most stupid of the humans, sometimes doing it intentionally, starting a fire.
I know.
A lot of folks are thinking it's either got to be the power lines, but some were saying, hey, is it possible there was some sort of volcanic activity that maybe kind of started this? That's looking less likely.
I think that we would have known that by now. I haven't seen that mentioned in any news stories. I keep hearing power lines, and it's just terrible what's going on. And again, only 3-5% of the city has been searched, and already nearly 100 found dead.
Fire Dog says Pompeii and Herculaneum were destroyed by a volcano in 79 AD, Italy. Appreciate that. This texter says, let's see, I'm trying to find the text about Sims. Yeah, here we go.
This is chilling.
Good morning, guys. I'm pretty sure I heard the gunshots that killed the woman in Sims Friday night and wounded her younger sister. I don't live in that neighborhood, but I live close enough to hear gunfire coming from there. I was sitting on the back porch about the time that supposedly happened. It was chilling to find out later that I likely heard the shots that took someone's life. Mm. All over a stupid social media feud and a scratched car. Texter finishes by saying it really peeves me off to hear about senseless BS like this. It is an absolutely ridiculous story, and everyone involved in this, the suspect, the two victims, all born after the year 2000. Just, it's kind of shocking to me now saying that, although we are 23 years in, right? But the story from WPMI, which is the most up-to-date I've seen, a woman's been charged with murder and attempted murder after a social media feud turned deadly. Mm. Friday evening, Ponderosa Drive South, that's where the Sims Police Department was called. They found one dead. That would be 23-year-old Honesty Chicole Holloway Wilkerson. Her younger sister, Germany Holloway Wilkerson, was shot in the thigh. And the suspect here, Curtelius Denise James, they said that James left with two witnesses to go to a local restaurant. When they returned to her home, they found James' belongings in the yard, her vehicle keyed, and all four tires were flat. Honesty and Germany Holloway Wilkerson returned to the address and began arguing with the suspect. James fired a shotgun at Honesty and hit her in the chest, and then chased Germany as she was fleeing the scene, shooting her in the right thigh.
Want to give us a call, if you can, during this hour. 251-343-0106, also the Ascension Technologies text line to Dan and Dalton on Mobile Mornings and FM Talk 106.5.
835 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we are doing good. More hot weather on the way this week, and still a lot of hot vehicles on the lot. Of course, they have air conditioning, but you've got some really nice stuff. They're both new and pre-owned.
Yeah, got to have air conditioning around here, don't you?
Yeah, no doubt.
We've got some great deals on some pre-owned. Just traded in a 21 new Yukon XL Denali. A lot of people have been looking for them. It's got 11,000 miles on it. That's going to be certified. Also, got a 22 diesel half-ton Z71 pickup truck. We're going to have it out front. That one's going to be certified. And we're just buying cars, man. We bought a bunch of them down in Fort Lauderdale last week. Should have those in this week. And a lot of all kind of different stuff. Got some Explorers, a Kia Soul, a Honda Pilot, and a bunch of stuff. And we're going to be trying to buy all week. And got something in your driveway you want to get rid of, call Gene, 251-476-4141. He'll give you a price and see if we can buy it from you. But we are in the market of buying a bunch of cars today.
Yeah, and that's why you have such a great selection. We appreciate it, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
That's Louie Ratta. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and their website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Our most chilling text of the morning had to do with a gentleman in Sims, not in that neighborhood where Ponderosa is, but close enough to it, where he said he heard the shots, the shot, and maybe there was a second shot as well, but that killed a woman in Sims, and he just, you know... That's when you're unintentionally close to the whole situation, and it could definitely have an effect on you.
Yeah.
And remember, it wasn't long ago, inside the last 6 months or year or so, there was a shooting in Crichton, in the area off Spring Hill, and where Moffitt and Spring Hill kind of meet and merge. So back, that would be to the north of Spring Hill Avenue. And that shooting happened in Crichton, and I believe a gentleman was killed, and that might have been at a dead-end road, or was he shot in his car?
I think it was something like that, yeah.
And so then, but people were reporting it that lived in Spring Hill behind St. Ignatius. And you think, boy, those neighbors they're not even next to each other. They have nothing in common. But as the crow flies, maybe down the railroad tracks or down there might be the creek back there. But anyway, it's kind of a direct. There's nothing in between where the shot was, basically, and where the neighborhood on the hill is.
Yeah.
And so they heard shots too, and that's just got to be absolutely chilling when you say those shots killed
someone. Yeah, and that's something that the police chief Paul Prine, he attributed lower. Crime statistics this year because the community are calling in things like that
yeah.
when they hear them, and you know, for a long time. And I don't know if I've ever been guilty of this necessarily, but you hear a gunshot and you think someone else probably called that in, and it's not always the case. So the Mobile police are saying, hey, if you hear something, give us a call because you never really know.
There's a police precinct out when I lived out in West Mobile in the area of University. And the university itself, right out there, on the other side of Municipal Park. And I heard what I was getting, it was about the time I was going to get up, and I'd say it was 3 o'clock, something like that, you know, doing morning radio. So my schedule was to get up soon anyway. And it was two gunshots. And the next day, I went to the police precinct and just said, hey, heads up, I don't know if you guys got a call on this or if you I wanted to know, did something happen in my neighborhood? Like, and they said, we can't tell you that. So did you hear anything? We can't tell you that.
They weren't allowed to tell.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know, you know, what the thinking is there. I was a concerned citizen just saying, look, I heard gunfire last night, and for whatever reason, they weren't coming forward with any information.
Yeah, what a tragedy, though, this Sims story. And if it was all because, well, you don't want to see a loss of life anyway, but over a social media feud, as some of these witnesses are claiming is what it was, and then you allegedly had these two women related show up to this other's house and throw a bunch of stuff out in the yard, key your car, and flatten the tires, and then a shotgun is what the suspect used to kill the one woman.
So if I am... breaking the story down correctly, the woman who shot the sisters, she had come home to see that her stuff was out in the yard, as in you got, I don't know, they were kicking her out of the house?
I don't know what the whole story is.
Yeah.
And then her vehicle was keyed and her tires flattened.
Yeah.
That's kind of what started this whole thing off, according to witnesses anyway.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Looking back at the text line, this texter says, y'all need to watch Zuckerberg grapple. He's won an amateur competition last year. He's been training for a few years. Yeah, I know he's been training, I don't know what belt he is in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He has been doing this training thing for a while, and even with some of the top UFC fighters. Like, I saw him working out with Volkanovski, the lightweight champ, and he's probably good, but can you imagine if you line up opposite one of the richest men in the world And I mean, most of these guys, I'm sure, wouldn't take it easy on him. But it's that has to add another layer of, I don't know, should I hit him in the head as hard as I can, considering that he could probably, you know, have me done away with if
well,
I do.
You know, take a MAGA Republican. That's a really good. And he's taken out all the Hunter Biden stuff on
Zuckerberg. Yeah, what do you think about those Zuck bucks now, Zuckerberg?
Added emotion of someone that is mad that he's kind of sat on the Hunter Biden story.
A lot of people were texting earlier about the pillow fighting. I was completely unaware that this was on ESPN. And this texter says, was Bud Light sponsoring the men's pillow fights?
It was not.
No, we watched... I wish we hadn't, but we watched one of the pillow fights Dan pulled up on his computer. It was sponsored by Manscaped and Dr. Pepper.
So Manscaped, you can do grooming of any hair on your body with Manscaped. You know, okay, that's what you're into. And Dr. Pepper, of course, we know what they are.
Dr. Pepper, the drink of fighting champions everywhere.
So the way this happened was I saw on my guide on TV. I didn't actually. Just, here's what's on. I'm scrolling, looking at what's on last night, and I saw
pillow fighting. Yeah.
On one of the ESPN platforms, and I did not stop to check it out. I was just like, well, that's weird. And then when we came in this morning, I just mentioned that to Dalton, and he says, have you actually seen a pillow fight? I said, no. So we 8 o'clock break where the news was on the radio, we pulled it up, and it's guys slugging each other. They each have
a pillow.
If you
want to call it that, slugging.
Well, it's kind of, it's pretty lame.
I don't know if you were aware of this. ESPN does this every year, kind of right during this time of the year where there's not really many sports.
No,
I mean,
help
baseball.
Me out. So what's going on here? What are
so
they doing?
They call it the Ocho. ESPN, the eight, the Ocho. And this is all playing off of the Dodgeball movie, where that's where they aired the Dodgeball championship.
So like a sport you've never seen before.
Right.
And now they promote it, and they because I saw the ESPN 8 logo, which I didn't know there was an ESPN 8, but that's all tongue-in-cheek?
Yeah, that's all tongue-in-cheek. Okay. The Ocho. They do it when there's not really many real sports on, and they'll broadcast a bunch of fake sports.
So Dodgeball in the movie was televised on a station called the Ocho?
Yeah, and okay. I think Cornhole started on the Ocho as a joke, but now it has made enough waves that it's mainstream. Mm. So they'll broadcast Cornhole. Whatever.
Well, here's what's crazy. You can watch Cornhole, and it's Baylor against Texas A&M. I mean, it's like these universities have got Cornhole teams.
Cornhole fever.
Yeah.
That's right. And so that's what that was. But we actually saw a video, top 10 biggest hits in the pillow fighting 2021 championships.
If you want to know how lame this sport is, go ahead and just get to the meat of the issue and go right to the top 10 hits in pillow fighting history.
Yeah.
And if that's as good as they...
So weak.
Wow.
Absolutely weak. I mean, I think that when my brother and I, if we ever, you know how things are when you're in your early teens or younger, and one of you pops the other with a pillow, and you're like, all right, let's see. And you pop them back. I swear, we had some knockout pillow fights back in the day.
We had,
and they usually turned into more than just pillow fights, actual fights. But there you go. If you see pillow fighting on your guide, don't go to it.
There was more rage with Danny and Eddie Brennan playing knee football in the house where you have to play on your knees. And that was... And I was 8 and he was 10, and that was better than the pillow fight I just watched. There was more real
action.
Competitive rage involved in our games on our knees. And, of course, in the end of the day, that lamp over there by the recliner would be broken. And then as a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old, we would hide it behind the recliner like they'll never notice.
Yeah, right.
And they always noticed.
This texter says, as far as air conditioning on school buses, which we talked about some this morning, said, I asked my 10th grader at Spanish Fort. He said, we have windows and the heater. No air conditioner.
Right.
Another texter said the bus and AC thing wouldn't be an issue if we didn't start school on the first week of August. And another texter here says, un-air-conditioned buses, at least it can help with discipline issues. Quote, if y'all don't sit down and behave, I'm going to take the long way home. I didn't even know. I mean, I know there are air-conditioned buses. I didn't know they were air-conditioning school buses at all. I've never gotten on a school bus with an air conditioner.
Yeah, and I thought it hasn't been an issue until you have, the school year begins in the midst of 21 straight days of 95 degrees or more.
Yeah.
And a high of 100 yesterday. Now it's an issue. And, you know, even with smaller kids, you can understand a parent being concerned about that, they've got a little one that doesn't really have a voice, or do you just would do whatever they tell you to do. You know, just be quiet. And we're going to make it to school or get you back home. And they could be very, you know, really uncomfortable and maybe even worse, right? Here's the numbers in Baldwin County. They have 44 buses that carry students with special needs. They've all got air conditioning. So even in a county like Monroe or Clark, if you have a bus that exclusively takes kids with special needs, by state law, they need to be air conditioned. They have 220 buses other than the buses that have AC. They've got no air conditioning. So it's not even like some do, some don't. It's not the case in Baldwin County. Only the buses that carry kids with special needs do. In Mobile County, it's different. 53% of the buses have air conditioning, so it's a hit and miss thing, right?
Flip a coin.
Yeah, and I would guess that either the bus you get on for your route to whatever public school you're going to either has it or it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's not like they shuffle the buses around, right?
Yeah. Well, I wonder if they take the buses with longer routes, if those are the ones that get the ACs, or if it's just random.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And the buses are right up the Beltline.
Yeah, Halls Mill, right? Or no?
Right here. I
know Halls Mill has a bunch of buses behind them.
And right off the Beltline here, too, in between us and Davidson High. There's an area where there's a lot of school buses there. But anyway, it's... We're saying this all because Dr. Bill is saying a cool front's coming through midweek, which means the high is going to be 95. That's not a joke. He said that the cool front will get us to a high of 95.
Yeah, but lower humidity, I think we'll all feel that. And we have gotten a lot of texts about the AC. Well, let's start with this one. Pickleball was on Channel 5 last weekend. Is that true? KRG broadcasting pickleball now? This text,
that'd be CBS, because I don't think Channel 5 sent a crew.
Speaking of Channel 5, you know, the Saints playing yesterday against the Chiefs.
Yep.
And I know that DirecTV has this contract negotiations they're going with CBS. So the Saints, but they didn't even play on regular Channel 5 yesterday. I think they were playing on one of the Channel 5, one of the other
secondary
channels. Yeah, secondary. I turned on NFL Network. I wanted to see some of these new Saints players, and NFL Network had blacked out the game. The only way you were able to watch the Saints game yesterday.
How?
With an over-the-air antenna,
wow.
I believe. Maybe some of you out there were able to watch otherwise, but for the rest of us, if you wanted to know what was going on, it was all radio or watching on the ESPN Game Center thing.
Were the Saints playing your team?
No, they were playing the Chiefs yesterday.
Chiefs,
but Mahomes was supposed to play the whole first quarter, so it was another reason to check it out. This texter says, you know, Dan and Dalton, I hear that when a school bus is ordered, that they automatically come with air conditioning. But because of maintenance costs, they remove them. What's up with that? Yeah, I haven't heard that before. Another texter here, I graduated from Air Hope in 1977, and our high schools didn't have air conditioning back then. And another texter, we never had AC. Let alone the buses.
Get you there. Once you get there, you have no AC.
We never had AC on buses growing up. What's changed with the students? Good question. We've been through that with plenty of other stories in the past. I don't know. Are kids softer these days? Are parents softer and they want to? I mean, if my kids are on a school bus and I have the option of them being air-conditioned or not air-conditioned, give them air-conditioning.
Yeah.
And also, they have trouble hiring bus drivers. That's an issue on both sides of the bay, but especially here in Mobile. I wonder if that's playing into it as well. So, hey, do you want to come drive a bus all day and a bus that doesn't have air conditioning?
I don't want to do that. Baldwin County says they're planning to the point about buses have air conditioning and it's taken out. I didn't know that, and I wouldn't expect that to be the case. Baldwin County says they're planning to buy 25 new school buses this year. All will be air conditioned. So the average here's the thing too. The average cost of a school bus is $140,000.
Mm.
A school bus that has, and I guess that number really shouldn't surprise me, but it kind of like, wow, $140,000 if you're going to buy a school bus with air conditioning.
Yeah, big money.
That's a lot of money. So there's a lot to be put into that decision, I think, rather than just assuming that everything we're going to do is going to be just fine and we're going to go ahead and they're all going to be air conditioned. But the next 25 they buy will be air conditioned.
Well, you also compare that to some of the money that school systems spend on other things, like, I don't know, Lad People Stadium, and hundreds of millions or tens of millions of dollars that may end up being poured into that. It's like, hey, why don't you air condition some of the buses while you're at it?
Yeah.
850 FM Talk 106.5 coming up. We'll turn up your voice, 251-343-0106, and I'll tell you who's coming up on the Jeff Poor Show.
I think the kids are freaking out on their way to school now. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Poore, good show on the way, including Shane Stringer, who's a state representative.
That's correct. We'll also have State Senator Greg Allbritton on, Dale Jackson in the third hour, and then Senator Tommy Tuberville to wrap things up in the 11 o'clock hour.
See the story on Katie Britt versus Tommy Tuberville bringing home the pork?
Yeah, the earmarks.
Yeah, not a close pillow fight.
Not surprising either.
No, it's not. That's Katie Britt's thing, right? Business Council of Alabama and all that sort of thing. And that's what she worked in the office with Richard Shelby. She was chief of staff, so she kind of knows how it works. $232.1 million in federal funding for Alabama projects. That's what she brought home. Tuberville brought home $72 million, or just 23.6% of the state's haul. And overall, Alabama was at $304 million in budget earmarks. That is down. Boy, Shelby's final year, he kicked it in.
Yeah.
He threw
everything at the wall. Yeah.
I guess he did. $656 million in Shelby's final year in the Senate is what he brought home. That's and again, Tuberville at $72 million.
Yeah, we'll see if Tuberville continues to catch some flack this week in the national media. I'm sure he will, but looking forward to that conversation with Jeff Poore in about 3 hours. Fire Dog texted in and said, I walked uphill both ways without air conditioner, and we ran the heater in August with windows up. Wimpy kids these days. Running the heater in August, that's something else. Another thing here that a lot of people talked about over the weekend is Mobile County Public Schools raising ticket prices on the eve of football season.
Not cheap at all. $13 a ticket to get into a high school football game.
So what was it? $11 last year is what I'm seeing here.
Yeah, well, it's, you know.
I think it was $5 at my school.
I'm a member of the esteemed high school football press.
Yeah, I was joking earlier, like Dan could care less what the rest of us pay for these football ticket prices since he's calling the game. But you go to basketball games.
I go to basketball games, and I don't remember being that, maybe for varsity basketball games, about $8, I guess. And you have to do it through this through the app, right?
Oh, you do?
Yeah. You got no choice.
Yeah. GoFan is the name here, buying tickets online. I love the quote in the WKRG story, though. They spoke with one person who said, this is not a good time. It should be a decrease versus an increase. You could just take that line and use it for everything. It's like, yeah, we'd all like prices to be lower.
Mm-hmm.
They're not.
This is not a good time.
Yeah, so price is now $13.60 per ticket through GoFan for public school games. Some of the other private schools also raising their ticket prices.
We've got millions of dollars, tens of million dollars in new stadiums all around the city, too.
Yeah.
So, got to pay that down.
I think Williamson broke theirs in over the weekend. Scrimmage.
8:59 with Dan and Dalton and Jeff Poore's next.